This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we're on location in northern New Mexico with Mary Morris, who has a new book, and she's going to read from it right now.
This is a poem from the pandemic, when people around the world witnessed a number of animals returning to their countries, some believed to be entering extinction. The Art of Closeness. Near Istanbul, dolphins were seen crossing the Bosphorus again, while feral boar wandered through pandemic Barcelona, snorting at the feet of Gaudi's cathedral. Rushing in from glade, herds of goats grazed through city parks in Wales. Sing them back, the shy shorebirds on Venice's Triporti Peninsula, the monarch, junco, and honeybee. Yes, praise the bees, buzzing with a force not heard since first we heard of their vanishing.
Mary Morris, whose every poem is of compassion. And this book, Lanterns in the Night Market, are poems about travel. But you will find, as we hear them, that the interior geography is what make these poems glow. How many countries are represented in your travel in the book, Mary?
You know, I really haven't counted them.
What would you say, 10?
I would say at least 10.
Well, we'll count them as you read the poem.
Okay, good.
But how many years in the collection of these poems does this represent? I mean, does it represent 20 years of travel? 10?
Probably represents since 2010, maybe. But some of the poems I wrote later from the, you know, traveling from that time, I would remember, or I'd see a photo, and I would write, and some of them up to maybe, you know, the last year.
Well, I know because you have written books since then, so this must be a separate spiral notebook that you keep in ancillary because you've had other publications. In fact, I want to name a few of them. Your other books are Enter Water, which was selected by XJ Kennedy, Dear October, won the Arizona New Mexico Book Award. Late Self Portraits won the Wheelbarrow Book Award. And you have received the Rita Dove Award, the Western Humanities Review Prize, the National Federation Press Women's Book Prize, and more. So please read us two together while we just sit in the glow of your travel.
So the last article I read about Lorca, you know, of course, the Spanish poet during Franco's regime, who was murdered. It said that his bones were never discovered, and many knew where he was shot, but they never found his bones. Hmm. Were the bones of Lorca asleep? Far from bullfighters, close to freedom fighters, in land green as the ink he wrote with, malachite, Pyrenees, new buds in forest, foliage, rare orchids, lead bullets embedded in bone. Through scrolls of hills redolent with mint, dotted with Andalusian horses, beneath pulpit of an olive tree, occupied by goldfinch singing in the firmament, is each leaf a calligraphy in air, emerald in its radiant anxiety, arouses, sprung from ballads of gitanos within caravans, nomadic, migrating over the belly of earth. In the biology of taboo, desire, unavoidably meeting the forbidden, descended from vermilion, marrow, blood weddings, man to man to moon, in the sea, a spectrum of turquoise, bioluminescence, in gardens of fireflies, the earth fertile with moors, where a shovel lies under ivy and mud, digging its way out of the grave. Mm. Let him breathe.
Give us those two last lines again.
In gardens of fireflies, the earth fertile with moors, where a shovel lies under ivy and mud, digging its way out of the grave. Let him breathe.
You had me at the fireflies. You had me at the fireflies. And there we have a very subtle example of what you're doing. It's self in relation to universe. It's self in relation to plant. It's self in relation to butterflies and fireflies. And what I am most struck by in this book is your sense of self, how world travel was always a way of saying, who am I in this environment? You know, it was like, here I am, anonymous to all these strangers, except to my partner who I'm traveling with. No one cares about me here. No one knows me here. And that feeling of self in relation to others, there's a loneliness in travel. I think you even mentioned that. So how is travel the opposite of community? And what do we know about, what do we need to know about that?
I think travel can be introspective, but it also, it feels so all-encompassing of humanity, because we're all humans all over the world, the same needs, and that's the feeling that I get. I want to be inclusive and write about those things.
And you do. And you do. So do you think that the world, that people are mostly good?
Yes.
Let's have two poems. Mary Morris. And her book is Lanterns in the Night Market.
Oceanic. If 71% of the Earth's surface is water, if what we see is only a fraction, if the gods give, but also to take away, like the purple sock in the waves caught in my hand, or the plastic bag that bumps up against my mask, periphery endless, excess dangerous, if beauty reeks ugly, if the storm cleans one beach, pollutes another, if the polyurethane bottles from the Sea of Java turn up in the Sea of Bali, what then of us? What of the where? What especially of the why? This puffer speckled and boxfish, square like its name, a snowflake eel tucked inside its coral den, darting its tiny head in my mind hereafter. The ebony and white manta ray, large as a boat, soars above this human body in slow motion, fanning its wings, graceful as an angel for a mariner.
How do you know to look so closely?
Snorkeling.
How do you look? How do you know to notice every minute?
It's right in front of your face and all of your senses.
How do we teach people? How do we teach people to stop long enough to notice where they are? I mean, you talk about the slightest pebble. You talk about the tiniest fish. It's a discipline. And I believe the poets have to have it. But wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone else did? I want to hark back to what Mary Morris was at 5 years old, to become such a looker, such a noticer, such an exquisite barometer of the world. You were one of 10 children born in Oklahoma. And what is that experience like, being part of a whole village? What is your one thing you bring from that?
Never lonely.
Fabulous answer. What I really remember the most is your deep and intimate relationship with your mother, which is so pure and so true. And I thought, how could she have this 10 times? She had to be a very special person, Mary.
She was very, very special. I miss her so much.
And you actually felt, everyone felt as if they were her favorite child.
They did. And the grandchildren all feel that way too.
That is amazing. That is
I mean, I've heard the grandchildren say, well, she was my favorite. The other one says he was my favorite. She never had a favorite.
But each one felt the warmth, right? So what was Mary Morris like at 5 years old?
Well, you know, I was never lonely. I shared a room with one sister my whole life and growing up. And I was a little bit introspective. I played a lot, but I always wrote. From fifth grade on, I had a notebook by my bed, and that was a difference. And when someone would say, you know, I need help writing this, my mother would say, ask Mary, she'll help you. So it was
where were you in the constellation?
I was the five younger and four older.
Right there. Ask Mary. She's a locus. That is great. And did you dream of travel? Is this something you called in because you always wanted it?
You know, my parents were kind of wild. They went dancing every Friday night, and we stayed home, and they took us on some big trips, like all the way to Canada. They took seven of us to Canada with a little Coleman camper pop-up in the back. And then once they drove us to Mexico, we camped a lot.
Yes. As a Navy wife, I hear you. I know the Coleman stove so well.
Yeah.
I do know the tent full of children.
Yes, you do. You have
not
four.
Seven, though. Mary, we want to go wherever you go, so read us two more.
Okay. Nest. Twice we built a nest in my cell-rich womb. In one, the blood poured out in the boneyard. We lived in Mexico. There were tiny candy skulls, black hollows of eyes, a cemetery of wire cribs and cries of mothers in black lace mantillas. The second nest was Bach, passion, fugues, made for the salvation of dreams. When I moved, it went with me. There was this power beyond my soul, within. What did I know of bringing life or milk, something inside one? I was a carrier, delivering, carrier, caravan. I was wet on the inside of my skin with new skin, vernix. Mm. Inside my body was hair, another's ears. I listened to our fluids and the beating of this extended heart.
You speak of such large things in such a humble way, and that's what your resonance comes from. I just want people to know that in addition to your books, and you have five now, you have been in the best of magazines, Boulevard 6?
Four. This is my fourth.
This is your fourth book?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm visualizing the one that's on your desk.
Yeah.
There's never a manuscript that is not there ready to pop. So she has been in North American Review, Poetry Magazine, Poetry Daily, Prairie Schooner, all the big ones. And I wondered if you had any poems you saved from when you were in the fifth grade.
I don't.
I found one of mine in the fourth. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry we don't have a Mary Morris original. I guess you moved around too much. Wouldn't that be fun to look back? Mine was called Davy Jones Locker. So profound.
Oh.
So Mary, what are you working on now since I visualized that book already?
Yeah, I have two manuscripts I'm working on. And they're getting pretty far. One is on early onset Alzheimer's, which is in my family. Father and a sister who's a year older. And the other one is kind of about the earth, the world and the earth. And it kind of is a little political and environmental and inclusive.
You're always about the earth. Didn't Ada Limon say that all poetry was about ecology? From the present day anyway, because we're so connected to what is perishable. And that is also the reason for poetry. which makes everything permanent. So I've known you for about 20 years. You remain steadfast, the greatest supporter of poets and poetry that I know. You follow everyone. I don't know how you find time to do that. But in your travels, what did it do to you? How did it change you? How different are you for having seen and done all of that?
I think, you know, gathering all that information of people, human beings, we're all really the same, but we all have this different architecture and art and music, and it, you know, collectively, it is fantastic. It is so important. We have all these origins from, you know, especially living in the United States, we have origins from all over the world, our beginnings. And so it's really astounding.
So you feel that it reaffirmed your belief that there is a common humanity.
Absolutely.
And this is why poetry is so important, because most of us have not been to these places, but because of the goodwill you present on the line, it's informative, it's instructive, it's important, I think. You don't talk about losing your luggage. You don't talk about getting malaria. You don't talk about anything but the vision of what you saw and what you found. So let's hear more about the vision with two more poems.
Okay.
And set up the country, if you will.
Okay. So this is on Turkey, which is extremely beautiful and interesting people. I love the music and the architecture. It's called Bioluminescence. At night, off the coast of Turkey, nestled between ruins of Olympus and the Taurus Mountains, the sea lights up with green neon plankton, so that the woman who dives, splashing off the bow of our boat, swims, divides, cresting her own galaxies and constellations, a Milky Way encircling her body aglow, mesmerizing all of us on deck. It is her 80th birthday. Yes, she is radiant.
Mm. And another.
This is after the famous Paleolithic cave in France, which I've never been to, but I've been inside some of the enormous ones in Spain, where there's very similar, same people, our people, Paleolithic. And so it's called Lascaux. Sleep, little cave girl, that you may have blown red pigment over those hands, leaving prints of your existence. Left tools, torches, paintings of bison, talisman, ephemera for your children. That part of you should always lie in the ground inside the womb of this cave, where once you rubbed two sticks, blowing spark into fire.
That's a great thought, to humanize the hieroglyphics and to know that a hand really touched them.
Yeah.
A hand really touched them. How do you describe the new work you're doing, and how does it compare with what we know about you?
Well, there are environmental poems, which I've kind of continued to write. There are some in this book, Lanterns. And then I think the one I'm working on with early onset is Alzheimer's, is very personal, like some of my earlier work. And the other book, On Earth, is kind of more all-encompassing, more like this book. Yeah.
And are you working on them both at the same time?
I am. I mean,
That's
it depends
good.
On what
that
comes
works.
Up. What comes up You know, it just I don't really plan it that way, but I've got two going and they're getting close.
I really recommend that if you have the energy, because it's like one is a steam valve for the other. And when your thoughts go dry somewhere, they pop up somewhere else. It's really the mark of a seasoned writer, though, I think, to have going. And the dementia thing must be difficult. It would take a lot of calories to think about those things, I think. Are you able to be objective?
I think so. I think so. I think I've kind of tried to do that.
To make it a poem, to make it something that means something to all of us, I guess you have to. Let's have another poem and tell us where you were when you wrote this one.
Okay. This took place in Jordan, in Amman, Jordan, where Ken used to work. Take five. After the Dave Brubeck Quartet. In Amman, Jordan, three women smoke lemon-scented shisha on a balcony. Five musicians appear from the jazz festival. A dialogue begins with a piano in 5/4 time. Enter whisk and marching beat from that bass drum. Piano rhythm, intoxicating saxophone. A woman, her voice scatting, all together, generating music so intimate, it's like being in love. Dave Brubeck has returned from the dead. Hundreds of people leave the street, gather on these wide steps at the University of Petra. Taxi drivers from Palestine abandon their cars to join us. Music unites all into one language. Take five. Take five on your busy day to find someone, to notice, to believe in the world as us.
What do you like about this book?
I like that I've recorded some things for people, and to be able to share it. It goes through a lot of years of travel, and I, you know, I didn't know it was going to be, you never know what's going to become a book when you start writing a few poems that seem to have some commonality. But so it took a while before I actually even saw that.
So you carry a notebook with you and just jot down images as you travel, or lines, and then when you have some solace, you put them together?
Yes, and then I also just think about it, you know, like, wow, that was amazing, that concert, concert was amazing. It was just so encompassing. Music really does bring us together, and I hope poetry does too.
You're helping it. Let's have another poem.
This was inspired by free speech and the dilemma of banned books. It's called Writers in Exile. When banished, she will not feel separate, but feed the hungry pages of an empty book, traveling as a caravan across paper. In the journal, he may become destitute, frail, roused, reduced. The 27 bones of a hand in an X-ray, like small candles lit in the dark. What the skeletal will carry, create, destroy, hold. Nerve endings of fingers fly from the map of the shy brain as they cover the continent of a distant hemisphere. Rush, the didactic hum of escape routes, electrifying circuits. Imagine them becoming impulse, or the way you move your wand, your hand as a wand through another's hair.
Your hand as a wand
through another's hair.
Loved that when I read it. I loved that when I read it. Kwame Dowles selected her work for American Life and Poetry from the Poetry Foundation. And Mary graduated from the University of Oklahoma. Were you an English major?
No, I was an art history major.
That helps, I think.
I actually wanted to be an English major, but I went to 9 years of Catholic school, and my grammar and my was just not, it was just, it's, I still struggle with it.
I can't believe that. I thought the Catholic schools knew every preposition, and I thought there was so much, had so much integrity about language.
People say that, but I don't know. It was kind of left out. I mean, even like math, I just don't. So when I went to an enormous public high school, you know, I could kind of blend in because it was so big, but I was pretty lost. So.
And now you're found.
Maybe,
let us have a final poem by Mary Morris from Lanterns in the Night Market.
Dancing in Lisbon. We enter a longing for bliss. He holds my mandolin waist. Two guitarists fingerpick their way along the quick road of a song. We dust the floor with our hymns, ignite the ground with tiny blue fires, so that the alcoholics in the bar sober up for life, make of themselves as we had on the torched road to compassion, their very own pietas of suffering.
On the torched road of compassion. The voice of Mary Morris, and this is the program, The Poet and the Poem, from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, the Rivada Foundation of the Logan family, and by friends of the program, Natalie Canover and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin's our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.